It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. ESPN 102.5, the game. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. Darren McFarland, that's me, representing the south side here in Rutherford County. Willie Donick over on the east side of town. Chase McCabe representing the west side. And Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, holding down things at our Hosel Inc. Game Studios, powered by Rumble On. .com. In just a minute, we're going to head out west and check in with John Clayton. He does radio out there for ESPN in Seattle. We'll learn a little bit more about Jadeveon Clowney and the possibility of him maybe being a Tennessee Titan. Guys, I was looking at, the first segment we were talking about the Panthers are set to release Cam Newton. So they're going to cut Cam Newton. So they've hired Matt Rhule. We know Ron Rivera is now in Washington. Just think about the Panthers this offseason. So they're about to cut Cam Newton. Luke Kuechly has retired. Greg Olsen was cut. Eric Reed was cut. Trey Turner was traded. James Bradberry has left for free agency. Mario Addison has left for free agency. Gerald McCoy has left for free agency. Bruce Irvin left for free agency. Dontario Poe, we talked about yesterday, his option has been declined. It looks like he's going to sign elsewhere, possibly with Chase's Cowboys. That's a whole lot of losses. And, oh, by the way, when you look at those guys' resume, and I realize a lot of them are not in their prime anymore, but they won a lot of games because of those guys, and they're no longer in the fold.
I think it's safe to say this is the end of an era for the Panthers. They're just starting over.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's kind of what you expect when you bring in a new coach. He's going to try and get his type of players in there and, you know, build his system. But I'm curious to see what that offense looks like with Teddy B under center and moving on from, you know, Cam and Kyle Allen and those. But it's certainly going to be interesting. I don't, you know, with that, with so much hype with that division, I'm not sure Carolina's going to have much to say about it this year at least.
Is Cam Newton still a starter in the league?
When healthy, I think he can be. I mean, but that's the big question.
Sure.
Can he stay healthy?
The fact that he got cut tells you that nobody was willing to take the contract. Now, it all changes, right? It changed very quickly for Todd Gurley once he got cut, right? And his new team was able to sign him at the value they saw fit at that time. So now we'll find out. I think the thing that hurts Cam, I think on a normal year, absolutely, he would get a chance to start for another team. But this isn't a normal year because of so many quarterbacks being available. As we speak right now, Andy Dalton's still out there, right? There's still other guys that
But Andy Dalton's not a free
agent. Same
kind
of track record.
Andy Dalton is under contract. So he would have to be traded.
So somebody would have to trade for him.
Yeah. He's in his last year.
I think he's a free agent. He's not a free agent?
I thought he was in his last year. That he's
who are you asking about, Willie?
Let's check.
He's in his last year.
Yeah. He's not a free agent.
Wow. Okay, so will that...
We have John. No.
All right, let's head out west. Let's head to check in out in Seattle. John Clayton, 710 ESPN Radio out there. John, how you doing?
Doing the best we can under the circumstances.
I know. This is unfamiliar territory for all of us, right? Are you guys practicing social distancing out there as well?
We were the first in practicing social distancing because everything started out here for the most part.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing that now for about a month. And so yesterday the governor, you know, basically shut down the state, and which is pretty much what's going to happen, I think, in most states over the period of time. And that's going to be at least a five-week process of trying to see how that's going to go. So, yeah, everything's pretty well shut down, and only essential businesses are the places you can go to.
Yeah, we're all going to find out how strong we are with our families at homes, aren't we? We're going to find out our true bond with our families here in the coming weeks, maybe months, who knows. We're trying to figure out Jadeveon Clowney because there's a lot of talk of possibly him landing here. I think the Jarrell Casey trade took us all by surprise where they traded him to the Broncos for a seventh-round pick. It was clearly a salary dump, so what are they dumping salary for? There's a history there with the head coach in his time in Houston, so he was around a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. But we want to know from you his stint this last season in Seattle with the Seahawks. What was the talk around him? As you guys watched his body of work this past season, what comes to mind? How would you describe what Jadeveon Clowney is today at, what, 27?
He was fantastic. I mean, probably one of the sixth or seventh best edge rushers in football because his ability to disrupt was fantastic. He fought through injuries, which, of course, is one of the reasons he's having trouble securing the big deal that he's hoping for, the $21 to $22 million, and that's obviously passed. But, no, I mean, his ability to bat down passes, to put pressure on quarterbacks, to get around him, and he was double-teamed about as much as any defensive end in football. But I think the other thing is that he plays better in a 4-3 defense than a 3-4. Sure, I mean, on the downs, when you're on a pass down and all stuff like that, he's going to put his hand on the ground and rush, but he's much better in a 4-3 because his hand is on the ground every play, and he doesn't have to worry about dropping into coverage.
What do you think the final number is going to be? Like you said, he's seeking top-end money, but right now as we sit here, it doesn't look like he's going to get what he's asking for. What do you think that final number is going to look like per year?
The final number, if it's in a perfect world, and it's not going to be perfect for Jadeveon, is $17 to $17.5 million. You know, pretty much a little bit above Eric Armstead. Problem is, he's probably not going to be able to get that. At least, if he's not going to be able to get it now, because any team that's going to make an agreement with Jadeveon Clowney has to have him have a physical. That's got to be essential. And so, because of that, he's not going to be able to get a physical because now pretty much it's mandated by the league that the physicians should not get involved because they've got other important things to do with the virus. And so now that very well could put him at a point where, you know, Seattle, who doesn't want to pay him the 17 or 18 but still wants him back big time, you know, they can go ahead and maybe try to get him under $15 million, which is a little bit lower than what Dante Fowler got. And so that sits there. But the problem for Clowney, the longer he waits, and again, if it's going to be 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, you get to the draft, and all of a sudden, a team might be willing to sign you, draft somebody. Now, nothing happens, and so you lose all your leverage. And, of course, his leverage is pretty well gone. Most of the 4-3 teams have already come ahead and made their moves to try to get the pass-rushing defensive ends.
Hmm. You know, we used to have the same discussion. Some of the stuff that you hear on Clowney, we used to have the same discussions here about Albert Haynesworth, right, that he was so dominant when he wanted to, but, you know, obviously that there was times that he had to be, you know, Jim Washburn had to motivate him and to get him going, and they wanted that motor running all the time. But when he was locked in, he was an unstoppable force. Is that kind of how you feel about Clowney when Clowney is healthy and he's out there? He is a guy that can disrupt things for teams?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's what's one of the things he can do. The only thing that he's not good at is getting the sacks because he's never had a double-digit sack season, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't get an offer in the 20s because if you're going to be a disruptive force, which he is, you also have to go along with the sacks and then also not have the injury history. You know, the injury history, he's missed 20 games in 6 years and just about every year because, remember, he started his NFL career with a microfracture, and that didn't help. And then you come back, and now you're trying to fight that. But, no, he plays hard. I mean, again, to show you what a player he is, you know, he goes in November and suffers a core injury, you know, basically a sports hernia. goes to Philadelphia, ironically the week that they're playing Philadelphia, and then comes back and finds out he's going to need surgery. He postponed surgery until the end of the season, just fought through the pain, fought through everything else, just because he wanted to do it for his teammates and show what a good teammate he is and try to help this team get to the playoffs and win a playoff game.
Willie?
We're talking to John Clayton, 710
John
ESPN.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, in Seattle. And, John, when you look at the Tennessee Titans, you know, there were so many rumors that, okay, could Tom Brady come here? They end up going with the long-term deal on Ryan Tannehill. Where were you on Brady? Were you surprised that he ended up leaving New England? Did you think the Titans had a chance, or did this play out maybe how you thought it would?
No, I thought he was going to end up staying in New England. What I just didn't realize is how, you know, I guess distant the relationship had developed between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, where Tom basically, I think, just got tired of not feeling totally appreciated because of the finances and all that stuff. And Bill Belichick, of course, getting to the point saying, hey, I always like to get rid of a player a year or two before he starts to look too old in his eyes. And so I just couldn't get that full read, because you still think in the end that he's going to come back and he's going to be a member of the New England Patriots. So certainly the Titans had the chance, and they may have had the best chance, because what you can look at is that what Tom wanted to go is someplace that, you know, he can either have fun or he can try to have a chance to get together with somebody like Mike Vrabel, who knows him, and they've been friends since 2001. And so I thought they had the best chance, but also I think in Mike Vrabel's case, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback for him, and now he's going to be there for several years. Where in Tom Brady, you know, it's 2 years, and then that's it.
What kind of relationship do you think Bruce Arians and Tom Brady will have?
Fantastic. Because one thing is, Bruce can be tough on his quarterbacks, but he's also good with his quarterbacks. And I think that, you know, you saw Carson Palmer, who, you know, basically was retired in Cincinnati, traded to Oakland, didn't have a good time in Oakland, and look how he rejuvenated his career when he went together and got together with Bruce Arians. You know, Bruce is just a very good coach. You know, they've got Byron Leftwich now calling the plays. You know, all those things are real positive, and so I think that that all will work out real fine.
The Titans obviously have a decision to make when it comes to Derrick Henry. They franchise tagged him, but you would expect a long-term deal. Do you think that that's going to be the case, that they get a long-term deal done, or does he have to play a year on the tag?
I think he has to play a year in the tag. I mean, it'd be nice, but the problem is, you know, what is the value? Because you now see what happens when you pay a running back. It doesn't necessarily work out. You know, they gave David Johnson $13 million a year, and then ended up trading him to Houston. You saw that Le'Veon Bell held out after being franchised, and then he gets the long-term deal with the Jets, and you figure that he's going to be gone next year because he only averaged 3.2 yards a carry, and the coach, Adam Gase, doesn't believe in paying running backs. And so I know it worked well for Ezekiel Elliott, but I think you can see, you know, all these big deals for running backs. And so, I mean, if he's willing to play at the $8, $9, $10 million level, then he gets a long-term deal. If he's going to shoot for 13 or 14, I think it could be tough.
Talking to John Clayton, a host on 710 ESPN Seattle. And John, just a couple of quick ones for you. Let's talk Seattle for a moment. The Titans are certainly hoping they're going into a window where they're going to have sustained success, or at least on a higher level than they have. They've had four straight 9-7s here, as we know. But they're having to start making those tough choices, as you just illustrated with Derrick Henry, that a good team is going to have to make. The Seahawks have managed it very, very well over the long haul here. What do you think has been the key to them being able to stay pretty competitive for a fairly long period of time?
Well, first off, it starts with the quarterback, and they have the quarterback in Russell Wilson, who's arguably one of the top now three or four in the game. So having the quarterback is probably the most important things, but also having the ability to try to stay young even though you try to keep your core group together. You know, John Snyder is one of the best as far as maneuvering in the draft, trading down, you know, from the first round, because again, he's had very few first round picks because he's elected to trade down, because what he realizes in the first round, if you're going to be a perennial playoff team, and more teams are recognizing this, that you're getting a second-round pick, because no team is going to have more than 16 to 18 first-round picks on their board. And so because of that, you know, he gets extra draft choices. He can hit on draft choices in the fifth and sixth round. He can make the right moves there, along with the fact that, you know, Pete Carroll has a good eye for what he wants, a cornerback, and so he can get a cornerback in a fifth round. I mean, yesterday they made a steal of a trade in Quentin Dunbar from the Washington Redskins for a fifth-round pick. I mean, you know, he was their best corner, and he's a cornerback that now just comes in and competes against Trey Flowers. So really, the way that Pete Carroll can coach these guys, motivate these guys, and then along with the fact that they've got a great quarterback and a very good general manager, they can have that sustainability.
John, before we let you go, you hit on this at the beginning of the show, or of your segment here. Darren hinted at it. You mentioned that in the state of Washington, particularly Seattle, you guys have been on the front end of what we're going through now in Nashville and really all around the country. But I know we're learning a lot from what you guys have been through. What would you tell a lot of us that are just sort of entering into this phase in the last few days for the first time? Because you've been through it, and hopefully there'll be some good to come out of it. But tell us what it's been like.
Well, it's been horrible because this area with the governor was able to identify how the numbers are going to go. And if you listen to Governor Cuomo's press conferences, I mean, they're following the same number pattern. We're literally, even though this area doesn't have as many tests as New York, the number of infections are going to go up every 3 days and double. And so, for example, back a week ago, the governor was saying that they probably had, it could have been as many as 100,000 people that have all this disease. And so, the idea is stay at home, stay away from people, do the social. And again, this has been the first area that's done a very good job of social distancing. That's what you need to do. But again, don't do what they're doing down in Florida where they assemble at beaches and have that. You can't have parties or anything of that nature. You basically just have to stay at home and wait this out. And if you do that, 5-6 weeks, maybe there's a good chance that things will open. But then the problem is, after that, the other areas who are behind are still catching up. So this is going to be a long process.
John, we appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Always good to catch up with you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, sounds good.
John Clayton, 710 ESPN, out in Seattle. We'll come back, touch on some of the things you just heard on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Appreciate John Clayton for joining us. By the way, Dan Shonka from Our Lads Scouting Service at High Noon. And if you want to ask Dan a question, he is all about the NFL draft. And I mean all about it. He's been doing it for a long time. Has been in those war rooms. You can text us a question at 615-737-1025. Put your name attached to it and question for Dan. And we will certainly try to incorporate that into the interview with Dan Shonka coming up at noon. So if you've got any NFL draft questions, which is about a month away, text those to us at 737-1025. Well, since we went off the air yesterday, guys, finally we were waiting for the numbers, right? Marcus Mariota signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. That'll still going to take some time to get used to saying that, the Las Vegas Raiders. But the numbers came out, and it looks like Mariota is – his first year, it's a two-year deal. He's guaranteed $7.5 million this year, no matter what he does. If he just holds a clipboard, not a bad gig, he's going to get paid $7.5 million this year to play for the Raiders.
Not a bad contract at all for Marcus Mariota.
You said
Mariota.
It was a two-year deal?
Yeah. I think it was, what, $17.5 million total if they were to pick up the option and everything, but he's guaranteed the $7.5 million this year.
Well, and the deal, I'm reading it, so it could reach 37.5 with all the incentives that are in there. It's pretty impressive if he gets to that.
I would say I haven't seen the details of that, but what is that, Super Bowl MVP?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. All right, so 7.5 guaranteed, as you said. Tom Pelissero added that once incentives are added up, the deal can reach a total value of $37.5 million. So I don't have a list of all those incentives, but I would think something like that has to be in there. But, you look at a contract like that, it's very similar to the guy that took his job in Ryan Tannehill, that he could go in and have an opportunity to become the starter there in Las Vegas with the Raiders and – that money could go up. But 7.5 guaranteed for a year is not bad at all, just, you know, considering Marcus Mariota in the position that he's in.
We think Derek Carr is going to be the starter for
them. I think it's a worthy gamble, don't you think? It's incentive, sure, number one for Carr to get it going, right? So if you have a backup plan. It's very Tannehill-esque, don't you think? It's a replay with, yeah, Mariota playing the role that Tannehill played last year. So it's a show-me situation for Carr. And if Marcus Mariota plays his cards right, if he just sits and waits and works hard, he might get the opportunity that Tannehill got last year, one way or the other.
Now, look, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but if you're just asking me, does this make sense? Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for Mariota to take $7.5 million to be a backup to Derek Carr. I mean, that's got to be easy money. I don't even know, you know, if he'll touch the field or not, but it doesn't make sense career-wise. If Marcus Mariota has aspirations to be a starting quarterback again, wouldn't the L.A. Chargers make a lot more sense? I mean, it looks, yeah, like they're probably going to draft a rookie. They've got Tyrod Taylor. I mean, for the time being, it looks pretty wide open, right? Even if they go with Taylor to begin, I mean, he's gonna be on a leash. I don't know how long the leash is going to be. But, I mean, as long as Derek Carr is upright, I would think, unless he just implodes, he's not going to really get an opportunity to unseat. They're not just going to bench Derek Carr, right? I mean, they got too much money. I mean, look at the contract they gave him.
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, but the contract at this point, if he's not living up to that contract, you get rid of him. You move on.
Do you get the sense that Gruden likes
him?
Winning.
They're going to start. They have a new stadium. They have a new fan base. They have acquired a lot of high picks. I think it's a good strategy by Mariota. He just saw it work very well for Tannehill, right? So I think he has entered into the same situation. I would rather be playing behind a quarterback that has already shown that he's sort of on the downside or may not be able to resurrect what people thought. He's underperforming based on the expectation level. That's a better long-term situation than being a placeholder for a team that drafts a quarterback in the high first round. You know they're going to play that guy anyway, almost regardless how well you play.
In 6 seasons, do you know how many games he's missed?
How many?
The last game of the season when he got hurt on the same day that Mariota got hurt.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. He's been, well, look, I don't get
that. That's
the,
not
I
the issue. The issue, he hasn't been very good. He hasn't been very good.
So, yeah, last year he threw for over 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 8 picks. That's his bad season? 21 touchdowns and 8 picks and over 4,000 yards passing?
Won. Oh, yeah,
that's on Derek Carr?
I don't get the warm and fuzzy feeling.
They trade away Amari Cooper. They trade away Khalil Mack, and that's on Derek Carr?
No, it's not.
It's a very mixed review when you evaluate him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You go back and you watch Hard Knocks. I don't get the warm and fuzzy feeling from Mayock or John Gruden. And John Gruden and Mike Mayock, both TV guys at the time, loved Mariota. So this signing doesn't surprise me at all. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's some sort of competition or Derek Carr is not even on the team by the time they take the field to kick off the season. Like, I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. I'm not saying that's the right move. I haven't agreed with a lot of the decisions that Gruden has made since he's come out of the TV booth and back into coaching, but that's definitely what could happen. So I don't – and Darren, to answer your question, no, it's not all on Derek Carr. A lot of it is decisions that have been made above him, but that's just kind of how – that's the situation that he's in, and I don't think it's necessarily the right situation, you know, for him, but that's where he's at, and – I wouldn't be shocked if there was some sort of competition.
I mean, he is essentially, for the 6 seasons, he has passed for close to 4,000 yards every season. These are his TD to interception
But they
ratio.
Have regressed. Darren, you know by now, it's not about just the yards. The yards only tell you a part of the story. You can get a lot of yards and lose a lot of games. And, Chase, your point is well taken that they have not had great personnel. They've made trades more for the future to load up. I think it's kind of a show-me year for Derek Carr. There's a reason where there were rumors that they might be trading or shopping around. We know that you haven't been able to trade a quarterback and get a whole lot for him these days. I just think it's a year where he's got to get it done, and if not, they have plan B. It's very similar to Mariota last year. This was the year this past season where he had to get it done. He didn't, and they went to plan B in Ryan Tannehill. Now Marcus Mariota is plan B.
I just don't understand the whole Derek Carr thing. I mean, I just look at his numbers. I mean, his numbers are far greater than Mariota's. I mean, they're not even close. I mean,
but what have they won?
Well, you keep saying that like that's on Derek Carr. I mean, what have they won? How about the fact that they traded away their number one receiver and the number one player on defense? You don't think that hurts a team? Khalil Mack.
You don't think he's regressed a little bit the last couple years?
Because he hadn't had anybody.
What did I just say? They traded away his elite receiver.
Hunter Renfrow. That's his go-to guy right now.
Right. He had Hunter Renfrow. That was and who was the guy from the Packers?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy
is this
Nelson.
Not the guy? Am I not listening to the guy that's always saying a great quarterback makes his receivers better and brings out the best in guys like
I'm
that?
I'm trying to tell you. So this is his TD to interception ratio in his six seasons: 21 and 12, 32 and 13, 28 and 6, 22 and 13, 19 and 10, 21 and 8. By the way, 19 and 10, 21 and 8 are the last 2 years when they traded away his elite receiver. And he threw for over 4,000 yards both seasons. I mean, I don't blame Derek Carr for this stuff. I mean, I blame the management of the Raiders. It's not on the quarterback. I don't think he's quarterback, but I mean, where do we see where Mariota's going to replace that?
I don't know, but you get the sense from John Gruden all along that he's not a huge fan, that he's not totally committed to Carr. You don't hear him really glowing about him. Is that fair to say?
I think it's very fair to say, but I also don't view John Gruden as some quarterback whisperer either.
You may be right.
No, but with the money he's making, he can act like it.
I mean, look, if you're just asking me, I think John Gruden's overrated. I've always felt that way. He's overrated.
Yeah. He was overrated, you know, his first stint. He just won a Super Bowl with a really good team, really good defense. It's not like the Bucs. I mean, they had Brad Johnson at quarterback. So
yeah, I don't view John Gruden as some great evaluator of talent, as some great mastermind on offense. That's just me. Do I think he was good in the television booth? Yeah, he was good at that, and that raised his profile. I don't view him as some great coach. That's just me. Never have.
But, guys, how many times do you see a situation where you have a talented individual like Derek Carr? I mean, you just read the numbers. Is he the best quarterback in the league? No, but he's solid, and I think he could win in the right situation. But you have people above that person that just don't think they're any good, so they're going to go find somebody else that they have been told is the chosen one, and they're going to put him in place and put him in where they want him, and then we all see how that turns out. I'm not saying that Mariota is going to be that, you know, if he gets named the starter, that he's going to flop. But we saw 5 years here and what it looked like and the inconsistencies. Do we really think John Gruden's going to be the one to fix it?
Not if you're asking me, no.
Well, if nothing else, Darren, another philosophy of yours over the years has been you got to invest in a good backup. So if that's really what it is, you're investing in a good backup, then that's what they've done with Mariota.
Yeah, no, I don't fault them for the move. I question if this is if Mariota really wants to get back. I guess the whole point of this conversation was, is that the best landing spot for him? Yeah, he's getting paid, but if he has aspirations to get back to where he was, which was a starter in the National Football League, is the Raiders really his best landing spot? Like I said, I don't know if the Chargers showed any interest at all. But, I mean, I could think of a lot of other landing spots that would have him behind a shaky starter or a guy who gets hurt a lot where he'd have a much quicker path to try to get back out on the field than Derek Carr. Like I said, minus Derek Carr's where did he break his leg just like Mariota the last game of the season?
Same day.
Yeah, same day. That's the only time he's missed. It was the next. So it was the second to last game. So he missed the last game of the season. 6 seasons he's played every game, but the final game of the season of that year when he broke his leg.
I'll say this about the Chargers, though. I mean, look, they have Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen. They have some weapons, but would you not be surprised if they go with Tyrod, or is it Tyrod Taylor, and just see what happens, but maybe put themselves in a situation to draft. I don't know if they're going to get the number one overall pick, but you know, it could be a situation where we're just going to see how this plays out and then go draft our quarterback of the future.
Yep. We'll come back. And then start over. By the way, Dan Shanka coming up at high noon. If you've got a draft question, you can text that to us, and we'll try to pass along some of those questions to Dan coming up at noon. More of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, Elijah. That's the way to bring it back. By the way, we're getting a lot of feedback. This is really cool. So on ESPN 102.5 The Game, our Twitter account, at 102.5 The Game, our quarantine question of the day, and we've all taken a picture of some memorabilia well, at least the room I'm in is where my memorabilia is. I don't know the setup for you guys, but Willie has taken a picture of something that he's got, a piece of memorabilia. Now, it says, what is your favorite man cave item? Look, I've got so much. I didn't necessarily take my favorite. I don't know if I have a favorite.
Well, you took a picture of my favorite from your man cave.
There's no doubt. So I've got two pictures. One is a Mountain Dew National Guard actual racing helmet of Dale Jr., and he has signed it. And that's in a case. That is one. And that is, every time Chase comes to my house, I have to put that away because I know that if I turn my head, it'll disappear. So I have to usually put that one up when Chase comes to my home. The other one was a signed Lady Vols basketball by Pat Summitt. And like I said, I don't know. And by the way, the one Willie put up, I've got the same exact picture. I'm staring at it. It's cool. It's the first ever playoff game by the Predators. And all four players pictured in there have signed it. It's really cool. It's framed. And like I said, we could do this every day. In fact, I was just looking over. You guys have seen my setup. I was looking over. I could probably put a piece of tape in front of the name. I could do a bobblehead a day, guess that bobblehead, and you know, put a piece of tape over the name and see if anybody could guess, you know, the bobblehead. I mean, I could do that every day. But, you know, we could do this for a while. But we're asking you, we're getting a lot of response of people taking pictures of their favorite memorabilia that they own and tweeting it our way, and we're getting a fantastic response.
What's a good example of something?
Preston Penn, which if you know Preston, he's a big Titans fan and has a ton of Titans signed memorabilia. He actually has a game-worn Randy Moss Titans jersey that's signed that he has framed. And
six games?
Yeah, well, somebody commented and goes, of course it isn't dirty due to the fact that Jeff Fisher wouldn't play him.
Well,
Rick Dixon.
Tell everybody what you put out there.
So I have a football that is signed by a lot of the Titans. It's got Kevin Carter, it's got Floyd, D-Mace, Chris Sanders, Frank Wycheck, Javon Curse is on there, Albert Hainsworth, Samari Roll, bunch of the names from the old days. Drew Bennett is on there, Donnie Nicky, Joe Nedney. I'm trying to remember all the other ones, and I've forgotten. You know, I used to know all the signatures because I had figured them out, and Derek actually helped me one day. I was like, hey, do you know who this is? And he could identify some of them. But my uncle had actually gotten that for me because he used to work. You know, you have a friend that owns a couple of UPS stores. My uncle used to work there, and Kevin Carter would come in a lot, and so he got Kevin to sign it for me and then take it to the locker room and pass it around, and then I've added to it over the years. And Kevin Kevin was like, sure, I'd be happy to. And he signed it, and he made sure his autograph was the biggest one on there. He took up like a quarter of the football.
He actually took the ball into the locker room and got others to sign it and brought it back to the store?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Pretty cool. But that's, I mean, we all know Kevin Carter. That's kind of how
he is. But still, so. that's pretty impressive to do to your, you know, your local UPS store.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
So it was pretty cool. Yeah, but it was cool because I got that for Christmas, I guess it was.
Wow.
My uncle gave it to me, but yeah, it's pretty neat. So I've had that for a long time with a lot of the the names from the old days.
Ryan Porth, our program director, put up one of the Major League Baseball ballparks, and you scratch it off as you do it. I actually, that was a gift from my wife this past Christmas, so I have the exact same one that he has tweeted out where you, you know, all 30 stadiums, and you, like I said, you scratch it off when you've been there. So I got the exact same one that he posted. So that's what we've done. We've all
you
got to
update that
there.
Though, because the Ranger Stadium is, you know, that's the new one now.
Yep, that is very true. Let's see. We are getting a ton of responses. Let's see. It looks like this is a James Brown. Looks like a wedding gift from my wife, signed by two Ohio State Heisman Trophy winners, Archie Griffin and who's the other one?
Zaddy.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I can't read it.
Let me see. Let me see if I can pull it up.
I guess
here.
Eddie. I guess that's got to be Eddie, right? No, we said hoping to add an autograph from Eddie George.
Well,
Hopalong
been...
Cassidy's the other guy.
Who is it?
Hopalong Cassidy. He's a former Buckeye from way back in the day. I think he might have been the first Ohio State player to win the Heisman Trophy.
Did they wear helmets?
Sounds like a character from a Western.
It sounds like from a Western, yeah.
Yeah, Hopalong Cassidy. He was a great player.
Wasn't he in – he was in several movies with Sam Elliott, I'm sure, right?
It sounds like he would be, right?
Huh.
Not Rachel Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. This is Hopalong Cassidy.
Very cool.
Rachel has a Tom Brady autograph helmet, which is pretty cool.
It's Patriots. That's cool. Let's see. What is this with the Colts? These Frank Reich mini helmet.
Oh, that's neat.
Stephen Burton with a certificate of authenticity. There you go. That was, looks like purchased last year in February. Yeah, we're getting great. So send those in.
Keep them coming.
Keep the memorabilia coming in. Did you mention also Preston had a Vince Young AFL throwback helmet from 2009?
Yeah, I just saw that. That's pretty cool.
Right? Now that's cool.
Preston has a lot of cool stuff.
But I don't see Vince's autograph on there. Do you?
I'm not sure. Actually, if you go go to Preston's Twitter page, he actually has a video pinned to his profile of his Titans room with all the stuff that he has. He's got a ton of jerseys and helmets.
Ooh, Josh Lawson, a autographed Pete Rose bat, and it says the hit.
Oh,
King.
That's cool.
How about that?
Oh, I should tweet that out. I actually have a baseball card that Pete Rose signed last year in Vegas. Because I was like, yeah, you know, I got to get that. Yeah, I don't think Vince did. I don't think he signed this helmet.
Anthony Keene just tweeted at us a signed pennant by Matthias Ekholm. This was during the 2017 run to the Stanley Cup with all the newspaper headlines from the Tennessean. That's
ooh,
cool.
Nicely done. That's well put together there. I'm looking
that
at
is
the
framed. That's really cool. Looks like he's got some pucks up above there. I could do that too, by the way. Autograph pucks. I'm telling you, I could do this every day. Name that autograph on a puck. Unfortunately, half of them I can't figure it out either. So that'll be a problem. I won't know the real answer.
I just pulled out I have a couple of things, you know, from different Preds events that I've gone to over the years. And I just pulled out a picture. It's Brent Peterson, Pete Weber, Stu Grimson, yours truly, Willie, Lindsay, and Terry Crisp. That right there, that's a collector's item.
There you go.
Is it signed
picture? No, I need to get you guys to sign it. And then a signed picture with a beardless Ryan Ellis, Gabby Bork, and
now
a
that,
very
that
young
alone right there,
Philip Forsberg.
A picture of a beardless Ryan
no
Ellis.
Kidding.
That's a collector's item.
Yes.
I'll tweet that out. I'll tweet that out in just a second.
Chris Alexander, a signed Thomas Vokoun game stick. That's very cool. And this is fantastic. Keep those pictures coming. All right, we'll come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Me in the mood. Dan Chaka coming up at high noon. Carl Ravish at 1 o'clock. If you have an NFL draft question, text them to us, 737-1025, 615-737-1025. We will pass that along to Dan. Put your name on it as well so we can give you credit for the question. So you tweeted out a picture that you were talking about, the beardless Ryan Ellis. I mean, he looks
yes.
like a baby. You've got Philip Forsberg, speaking of looking like a baby, that had to he had to have been, what, 19, 20 in that picture, Philip Forsberg?
Yeah, maybe that's 20? Probably – so I want to say this was Laviolette's first year.
No.
Because I – well, because I found
– You think?
No, I think so. Yeah, it was like a meet
because
the team
isn't
party.
Is that Mike Ribeiro in the middle? I can't tell.
No,
who's the guy in the
that's
middle?
Not
That's
Ribeiro.
Gabby.
Yeah, that's
oh, that's Gabby Bork. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's Gabby Bork. That's not.
Now I'm trying to figure out. So
he couldn't see over the wall.
Ellis signed it. Gabby signed it. Phil signed it. But then there are two other autographs on here that I'm trying to figure out. Ekholm. And then I don't know the scribble. I can't remember who that is.
Gabby Bork is one of those guys, right? You just and he was such a great guy to deal with, but you just never thought he was gonna. Keep playing as long as he has, right? I mean,
yeah. He's still going.
I know.
See Colorado?
Yeah.
No, I think he's Winnipeg now, isn't that right?
Is he?
Or Winnipeg, yeah. That sounds right.
By the way, I can't keep up. We're getting so many great responses. Like I said, we can do this all week. I mean, honestly. I that was two of I don't know how much I've got. I know you guys have got a lot too, but these we're getting some great responses. People have also, what is this one? Oh, Mike, NFL strategy football game that he created 23 years ago?
Oh, that's
Mike,
cool.
Mike 3-kill? Huh. Very interesting. Yeah, this is good stuff. Like I said, we can have fun. I could probably do one today. Yeah, I can easily do one today. I'll do one during a break. Find something to tape over the name and just take a picture of a bobblehead and you guys see if you can name it. Because, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes the bobbleheads, they don't exactly look like the person.
No, they don't.
So that's why sometimes they can be tough, you know, figure out who that is. So I can do that in the next break. Looks like Bo Sox is weighing in now. You guys have all been to Bo Sox house. You know
oh, yeah.
that he's got lots of memorabilia.
He's
can do this
cool,
probably for
cool
days.
Stuff.
He can do this for days. He's just weighed in, and he's got a – wow, look at this picture. Willie, you can appreciate this. Coaches versus cancer. Look at these names. Look at these pictures. Tark chewing on his towel. A very, very young Rick Pitino, Bobby Knight, Dean Smith, John Thompson.
Oh, that's
Bobby
cool.
Crimmins. Wow. All of them signed.
That's really young. Hitters.
Look at Roy Williams. Look at Roy Williams' hair. He had color in his hair. Jim Boeheim. By the way, isn't it kind of – Rick Majerus, isn't it kind of sad to see Syracuse basketball today with Jim – I mean, Jim Boeheim, they were such a powerhouse for so long. And I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to say it. They've never been the same since the huge, you know, academic fraud cheating scandal. Is that fair to say?
For
Syracuse, I'd agree with that. They have not been the same program since then.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think you can say that.
And then
they're certainly not a power anymore.
And wasn't he going to retire?
Well, a lot of people thought, how many games did he get suspended for?
I feel like it was like half a season.
That's kind of what I thought. I was going to say
half of a conference season.
Yeah. And just they just never came back. A lot of people thought that was going to end him, his coaching career then.
Well, and then didn't he have the accident, too, a few years ago?
Yeah, where he hit a person. It was accidental. I don't know if that's affected him or how it's affected him. But they've been in the hunt. They haven't, you know, collapsed. They're still competitive, but they just haven't been to keep it going.
How about this one? Patrick Howard just tweeted in a picture of a framed Chicago Bulls Dennis Rodman number 91 jersey signed.
Wow, that's really cool. See, I'm getting lost looking at all these.
I know.
There's a Vols helmet that's signed.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't do this on the air. This is
Derek Barnett signed it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great thing to take a look at. If you just want to go to our Twitter page, you can see all the great stuff and compare. I love this stuff. This is great stuff.
By the way, the UT Vols helmet, Derek Barnett signed, number 9, UT all-time sack leader. That's what he signed on there.
That's pretty cool.
That's a different type of signature, right? That's pretty cool.
I was standing in the end zone because it was the Music City Bowl when he broke it. And I was standing there with Ricky and Joe Dubin watching that, and I, you know, that's pretty cool to say that, you know, I could say that I watched history. That was a fun game.
Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, we will come back and start things off with Dan Shanka. Keep those pictures coming in, your favorite memorabilia. We'll talk to Dan Shanka a little bit about the NFL draft. We'll also, if you've got some questions, text them to us. But this is going to be the draft is already tough. But because of the unusual circumstances and what the NFL teams and personnel cannot do leading up to the draft, I wonder how challenging it's going to be. We'll talk to a guy who's been in those war rooms and a guy who's been covering the NFL draft for a long time, Dan Shanka. Next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.